Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Start again. Okay. Welcome back to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast, period.
This is our second take of the intro. Sometimes we just like to catch up, as you know. What's on your nails?
Cirque Chroma Rose.
Oh, it's a duo. I love that.
Yes.
They do really good, like, they're great dirty golds, yep. Roses. Like,
they're great at duochromes. Really, I love really all their good polishes.
I know. Cirque does it. Yep. Cirque and Mooncat. Oh, shout out.
I need to get some Mooncat.
The fact that you need to...
Their PR is in my inbox, so I gotta...
They're better than Cirque.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'll pivot.
Yeah. No, she's great. I love the founder. I'm in my like manicure era where I've been getting my nails done.
Wow.
And I need to leave.
You're a business girl.
I'm a business girl.
So wait, so like what is the going rate of a manicure in New York City?
Cheaper than I thought.
Because I always do my own nails, so I never know what the price is.
Well, I've been doing my own nails for 15 years, but when you don't do any like crazy shit, you can get out pre-tip with like $55.
Oh, just like a regular manicure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No chrome shit, no anything. It's right. Like, I'm also in my bridal era. So
what? Okay. So what is this color for the listeners? It's a milky white nude.
It's like 3 coats of a sheer white.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know. I just like, it's either sheer whites or sheer pinks. I've become so boring. It's okay because I'm so iconic.
I want some like Urban Decay-esque nail polish line to come out with a sheer white and call it something salacious.
Yeah. I don't know.
And it will sell like crazy.
I'm not going to take off my own gel nails. And no. It's like, if I'm at the salon, I might as well just have them put another one on.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway.
Every time I've gotten a gel manicure, it's always been for a beauty event. Yep. And I always wait until 3 weeks later when you start to see them lift at the edges, and then I pop them off in one.
Listen,
it's so satisfying.
Listener, do not do that. It is bad for your nails.
I also have incredibly strong nails. I don't understand why they're so strong.
This is a nail podcast.
Yeah. The keratin is keratining.
It is.
I had lunch with a friend / beauty publicist who just took on a fragrance brand that I've been meaning to try forever, Arkeist. Mm. So she sent me a little discovery kit.
Yeah.
Just like a little sampling. And they're all really good.
How many scents?
6.
Sick. Okay.
Yeah. Because I just looked at the website and I feel like they definitely had more scents than this, and they do.
Yeah.
But they're all really good. But it was a day that I couldn't really smell things. So part of me was like, are these meant to be very sheer, transparent scents, or is it just me? And then I was at my friend Dara's house, and I was like, you guys have to smell this and tell me what it smells like. And they're like, no, they're pretty sheer. I was like, okay, good.
Okay, nice.
I'm on the right track.
They're not an especially new brand, right?
No.
Okay.
They're not. I don't know how long they've been around, but I do know that the founder also worked with Rodrigo Flores Rue on the vacation scent.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's, I think, when I first heard about them, which was, when did that come out, like 3 years ago?
It was
pre-pandemic. It was like 2019.
In the pandemic, right?
I think it was 2019,
actually.
I think
you told us in the pandemic.
I think I remember it was 2019 because I was working as a consultant at this one app.
Yeah.
And that was right before, it was like end of 2019.
We interviewed him, though. And remember,
not
he's
Carlos.
The vacation guy.
The vacation guy.
Yeah.
Marty.
Yeah.
Martin. I like Marty.
I do, too. I would like it more if he hired me for the job I applied for with the brand, but that's neither here nor there. I feel like there are a couple things coming out soon, fragrance-wise, that I'm very excited
Dude,
about.
As soon as you mentioned that Crème Couture scent,
yeah.
I have been getting relentlessly targeted ads. From
really?
It. Relentlessly.
They're listening.
But I have never gotten a sniff ad before. I've never gotten a, what was that line called? No nose, no scent?
No noses, ink.
No noses, ink. They have never crossed my algorithm. Huh. And now I've gotten 5 targeted ads in the past week.
I've been getting crazy inundated with them too, but I also follow them so that it's not super shocking.
And then like 2 people DM'd me, were like, hey, have you seen this scent? And I'm like, hey, did you listen to the last fucking episode? No, kidding.
Stop.
Maybe they're just doing an extra push now, so everybody's getting those ads.
I don't know. And this is, I suppose, neither here nor there, but like I said when I talked about it, like there's that account still has no followers. So I'm like, they must really be a secret menu. But no, I like that scent a lot. I think you couldn't smell it, right?
I know.
It smells just like the croissant candle. So if you need a reference.
Great. I'm at like 60%. I go in and out. Okay. I don't know what the deal is because I'm on antibiotics and it's not doing anything for my sinuses. So I'm like, okay, this is not bacterial. This is something else.
Oh, fuck.
It might just be allergies, honestly.
Fair.
I think everybody's suffering.
So. Well, I'm smelling great.
I can smell things sometimes.
Yeah.
Just not at full strength and not sometimes when I want to.
Yes.
This is my cross that I have to bear. A listener had, I think, tweeted at me that they had had a similar issue with their sinuses, and they said that they tried like quarantining themselves from anything scent related. They said that they put all of their like fragranced items like away in a closet, and it helped. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'm simply not going to do that.
I live surrounded by candles and perfume. So like,
that's simply impossible.
I'm out of luck.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
But thank you for that sentiment. My fear is that it'll work and then I'll be like, well, my life is over.
Where would you put them?
They're already in a closet, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, some of them are out on my dresser, but I don't really spend time in my bedroom unless I'm sleeping.
So. Yeah.
That's why that room is the cleanest room, because I'm literally unconscious in here.
Yeah.
9 hours, 8 hours.
There's a new Cartier fragrance coming out that I'm like dying to smell.
Is it the black bottle?
Yeah. It's a flanker of an existing line. I believe they're for men, and I believe they're all in the woody family, but this one is like wood and caramelized sugar. Ooh. And I was like, can you please send that to me? So I'm excited for that. Also, that passion fruit fragrance that has been being teased, I'm quite excited for. It's a passion fruit summer.
The first time I had real passion fruit, I was in Costa Rica, and I was like, this is what this is supposed to taste like. It blew my mind.
I don't think I ever had real passion fruit.
You can buy it here, but it sucks. I was like, I don't get why people like this. This is fine. Mm. It's like a little tart, a little sour. And then when I finally had a real one in South America, I went to the home of passion fruits to eat a passion fruit. And I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
The hotel I was at, they had them at the continental breakfast, and I would just hoard them.
Oh, that's funny.
It's just like an orb, and then you crack it open, and there's goo with seeds in it.
Yeah.
That's what the fruit is. And I would just empty a bunch of them into a bottle and just like...
Gross.
I know. It's so disgusting, but I'm like, this is incredible.
I love it. Well, we're going to South America.
Yeah. Every time I have produce in a different country, I know that America's bad.
Yeah. Well, like, if that's your first clue.
The produce is bad here.
So are the gun laws. So
everything's bad, but they've gotten to our fruit and I can't have it.
I'm sorry. I'm keeping my eye on my phone. It's like realtor vibes. So that's the only reason.
Okay. Titan is hunting for an apartment. If you know of any one bedrooms in North Brooklyn.
I don't want to fucking talk about it. Last time I moved.
I think crowdsourcing is a great way to get things done.
These girls do. Whoever gave me the rec for the jewelry store to clean my jewelry and or give me a custom setting. They blew it out of the water, so thank you, listener. I should have responded to that email.
If you know of any one bedrooms.
No, we're not crowdsourcing my home.
I think it
will last be time fun. I moved, I talked about it for 2 years straight, so I'm keeping it
and
off the
you
podcast.
And you got a spread in apartment therapy, so.
Yeah, that's true. That had nothing to do with the show. It had everything to do with my impeccable taste for design. But anyway.
People love that shit.
Yeah.
Home blogging, home influence, or just the whole, I don't know.
If I get my way, Sable and I will be neighbors.
Yes.
So.
Please make this happen. We will.
I can make this happen. I don't need anyone's help. It's fine.
You never know who's in a position to help.
That is true.
You know?
That is true.
You never know. I was listening to a different podcast.
Which one? Ew. Oh,
Hidden Brain. I really like science-y podcasts.
Okay.
Podcasts that are nothing like our own, that are well-produced and well-researched.
Okay, stop. One of us researches.
Sometimes. It was basically about how the disconnect between people helping each other is usually on the side of the person in the position to help, because they don't want to make the recipient uncomfortable or be presumptuous.
Mm.
When the truth is that the reward for helping someone makes both people feel so much better.
Mm.
The person who's being helped feels good. And then the person who's helping gets that feeling of, what do you call it?
Gratification.
Gratification.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
That's
the
funny.
The closest word I can think of, too.
I would assume, it's not the right one, but it's close.
Yeah, I know.
That's funny. I would assume it would be the opposite, because I thought it would be the person who is afraid to ask for help.
Right. There's also that.
Yeah. I was, speaking of not asking for help, one time I was getting my packages from the mailroom, and I was holding like a gigantic sack of like, I don't know, 6 to 8 PR packages, like fucking juggling them. And one of the gentlemen who worked there was like, do you need help with the door? And I was like, no, I got it. But you need like a key fob to swipe and blah, blah, blah. And like, I got it out. And of course I dropped everything. And then he comes over and gets the door for me. He's like, next time someone asks you for help, you can take it. And I was like, I didn't need that lesson from you, but thank you.
Like, what the hell, dude?
Like, I know that you're right, but I don't appreciate it.
Wait, did he say it in a sexy way, or did he say it in a scolding way?
He said it in, like, a dad way, and I'm like, I've already got one of those. Thanks.
Unless it's in a sexy way, don't even.
No, it's not. I do want to fuck all my door guys, though, but anyway, I'm moving.
Now you can. I cannot. I'm so bad at asking for help.
I've gotten better.
I don't. I am also that kid who would do the whole group project by themselves because I didn't trust other people to do it well enough.
I'm sort of hurt too.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, I can just do it better. I'm going to do it best. So why would I ask anyone to help me and then not be pleased with the result? I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I have to get better about that because I live alone. Dynan, what do you smell like today?
So I'm still in my small brand era and
Isn't this always our era?
No, it's definitely not.
That's true. You do wear a lot more big brand scents than I do.
I think we both do.
Yeah.
But like in this one, I have seen around on social media quite a bit. And then they reached out to me and I had them send me some scents because there's one called Love Always.
Oh.
And I was like, obviously. And Love Always is beautiful. It sort of gives like, I'm sort of parroting what they say on the press, but flowers pressed in a book and skin and laundry. It's pretty. It's not a me scent, but what is the scent called Wanted. Ooh. And it's just sort of like, just like think about what I like and it's that. It's warm and spicy and leathery and beautiful. I just like, oh, it is.
What's the brand again?
So good. That's a good question. Okay. I don't think I said.
Yeah, okay, that's right. I was like, wait.
Because I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh.
It's A-T-U-M. Autumn? Atum?
Atum.
Imagine
I'm
knowing.
I'm going to say Atum.
Okay. It's red mandarin, pepper, nutmeg, cypress, vanilla, sandalwood, and patchouli. It's not a very linear scent. It's more static in that it's just sort of is what it is the entire time.
Okay.
But like, oh, I don't know. I just really love it. I sprayed it on and I was like, oh yes, it's just like this beautiful, warm, sensual, alluring. It's all about attraction. So the name is like, you see someone, you want them. It's that moment of spark, yada yada. I really love it. And all of the scents that I have tried, they wear pretty close to the skin but pretty consistently. I wouldn't mind if they were a little heavier, but I realize that's like not everyone's thing. I would also be the first person to bitch if they were too loud. So what is the truth? This is great. And the bottles are really stunning. Mm-hmm. They're sort of like a smoke gray glass with a big sort of gold pebble lid. For 50 milliliters, it's $130, which I don't think is, you know, unreasonable.
Not terrible.
No, it's not terrible. So I'm a big fan. I'm still working my way through their discovery kit. They have sort of one collection that's all about what I think is about feeling and shit like that, and then another one that's about the elements, which I think was their first. Okay. So yeah, I'm working my way backwards, but I really love Wanted. I'm gonna be wearing it for a while. I love it.
Autumn. I've seen that name before.
You for sure have. Yeah.
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 I can't remember if it maybe popped up as an Instagram post you may like.
Probably.
Those things are feral.
They know. I mean, now it's gonna pop up. They're hearing
all. That's all I see or posts you may like. I'm like, how about you show me things I do like?
Right.
Because I said I like them. Please.
They're also made in Texas, which I think is cute. Oh, shout out to Texas.
Cool.
Accept the loss.
Okay. Autumn. A-T-U-M.
Yes.
We will get to the bottom of it.
We will. Okay. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so this is an unexpected scent that I never thought I would wear. Just kidding. I'm wearing Prada Paradox.
Mm.
And originally, I got a sample of this in a fragrance foundation mailer.
What?
They just sent a bunch of 2 milliliter vials from all the brands in their little
cult.
Yeah. I was like, what do you do? Truly, I don't know.
What is it that you do successfully?
What is it that you do? Why are you here? Who is your daddy and what does he do? Anyway, because I remember when this launched, they had that event in the meatpacking district that you went to. I did not go to because it was at 10 a.m. and I'm not crossing a river at 10 a.m.
I was actually off work that day and I was in the neighborhood.
It looked cool.
It was cute. It was an Instagram trap.
Yeah. I feel like that's the new trend with fragrance launches. Make an Instagram station.
Yeah.
I was being judgmental because I was like, okay, whatever. Another big designer fragrance. It's going to be boring. And then I had a sample and I was like, okay, it's not boring, but it's also really nice. It's a white floral, sweet floral, musky. I don't want to say, I think they say it's woody. I'm like, this is not woody.
It's one of those ones that's sort of everything.
A little, yeah. It's like it's kind of like every feminized accord in one, mm-hmm. but it's done really well.
It is.
I get a lot of the white florals first. I believe they call it orange blossom and neroli, which is funny. They're the same flower, just at different points of the flower. Mm-hmm. Jasmine sambac, bourbon vanilla, amber, white musk, and benzoin.
Listen to you reading the notes.
Look at me reading the notes off Fragrantica.
Ooh.
But it also has, quote, a new revolutionary musk molecule, serenolide, serenolide. I don't know. For an intense yet subtle and comfortable trail, noticeable right from the top, which I will agree with because I've worn this fragrance 3 times this week and every single time friends are like, you smell amazing. Mm-hmm. What is that? That smells incredible. Mm-hmm. And little did I know, it's because I smell like a woman.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you sprayed it on and I was I liked the fragrance. It didn't blow my mind, but it is undeniably beautiful.
Yes.
You know, so I liked it from jump. But when you put it on today and then we sort of kept talking and setting shit up, I was just like, oh, that is really good. To me, it's like another version of a spicy floral. Like it comes from the Flower Bomb family, but it's a little younger and lighter.
It's less spicy than Flower Bomb.
For sure.
I feel like it's the more dewy, petally, nectary version of Flower Bomb.
But to me,
if this was a flanker of Flower Bomb, I'd be like, wow, well done.
If it was
the summer flanker.
But it's like, it definitely comes from that same idea that it has sort of like everything in it, and it's hard to pin down. Because when I smell it, I don't get floral. I get like that juicy, buoyant, feminine, girly, pretty.
In my brain, I can recognize that it is a white floral, but it's so juicy. There's like something so juicy and dewy about
exactly.
it. Exactly. It's like crystal almost. It's like a crystal.
Julie likes
floral.
It too. She was like, you'll never guess what fragrance. She texted me about it being surprised that she was like, I thought it was going to be gross, but like, same. I love it and I want it. And I was like, it's the warmth to it.
Yes. Like, it has this great skin warmth to it. And it settles down really nicely. I think I probably thought the same thing because when I read the press release, I read the notes and I was like, cool, another perfume for women. It smells like women, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to smell like women sometimes, but
it is pretty. I mean, that's the paradox. Like,
exactly. The Emma Watson fragrance.
I think I gave it to my mom and she loves it. It's a very her fragrance.
Yeah. I love the bottle.
Oh my God. I was just going to say
I really love the bottle. It's cool.
I mean, it's the Prada logo, like big whoop, but it
but
is
But I like cool. bottles that kind of sit askew.
And I like bottles that are like chunky and angular and not just like a bottle.
Yeah. You know? Same. It's the hand feel when you spray it that to me makes the experience so much more fun.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Prada Paradox. Who
I'm sure
knew?
They're going to flanker the shit out of it in the next 5 years, but I'm also excited for that.
Prada Candy was their other
huge one.
Huge hit. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever smelled that one. I feel like I might have smelled it in passing, but I just don't remember it because it was like everywhere.
A really light floral amber.
Yeah. I do feel like floral ambers are just a hit.
Not a floral amber like this, though. Mm-hmm. It's surprisingly light. Oh, and like it's very caramelly, too. Mm-hmm. I wanted to love it, and I was like, girl, I don't. It's not bad. It's just like, if you're going to name something candy, like, go off.
Yeah, I would have assumed it would have been very sweet.
One of my favorite men's fragrances is also from Prada. I don't know. Prada, like, does it.
You were saying, I remember, you were describing, was it like a Prada for men fragrance?
Yes. Prada.
Was it the one that, what's his face? Jake Gyllenhaal was the face of?
I don't think so. It's a while back. Anyway, okay. It's gorgeous. It's a big amber iris bottle.
Ooh. I want to know more about this molecule. Serenoline. Nobody is saying the same thing on Google, and that's disturbing to me. Everyone is saying different things about it.
What do you mean?
I just tried to look it up, what it is, what it's in, what it's meant to evoke, and there's so many.
You probably have to get that straight from them. I think it's proprietary.
It is a proprietary. But it is interesting that it's called out in the press release.
Mm-hmm.
We're welcoming our synthetic molecules into the club now.
Right.
That is interesting that they're using these synthetic molecules and calling them out as the secret ingredient. It's like the magic touch.
Let me smell it on you. Yeah, that is really pretty.
It's so pretty.
It smells like summer in a car.
Yeah.
There's this like muskiness to it.
There is like a like summer
humidity and like dense air.
There's a sunniness and like a springiness to it. I don't know. It's like a morning scent.
It's one of those things that's like, it's not a shit on shit fragrance, but it almost is in a good way.
I see what you mean.
You know, but I like that those fragrances where you sort of like throw a bunch of ideas at the wall and you can't decipher one from another.
Yeah.
I like that. We're clowns.
It reminds me a little bit of the newest Mugler Angel Flanker Elixir.
Tell me about that because I saw you post it.
It is floral fruity to the core. And it reminds me a lot actually of Angel Nova, the pink one, which was all raspberry.
Okay.
It's as if they took the raspberry down and just swapped it for like different fruits.
Yeah, but by the time you get to Angel Nova, these are just like perfume.
Yes, I agree. They both have this, to me, this kind of serrated texture to them.
Ooh.
That stands out to me. And I was like, okay, so that's their Angel anchor they're using, which is ironic because of all the things that you could anchor from Angel, that's what you chose. I can't pinpoint what it smells like, but it's just a texture. I feel like it's the woody, earthy base that's doing it.
Okay.
Patchouli. I don't know if there's cedarwood in it, but there's something woody in there. But I'm like, okay, that's actually nice with the base. But from first spritz, it was so unexpected. Mm-hmm. I was expecting it to be maybe a spicy gourmand. No.
No.
It was a floral fruity.
Hmm.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you chose to? Okay. And the bottle looks kind of the same too.
Yeah.
It's just a navy blue bottle. And I'm like, of all the things you could have done with this.
I mean, they've done every other color. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like this one they could have made like silver and that would have been cool. Or like a light, light blue.
Mm-hmm.
A shimmery sky blue. Or I don't know.
Angelus sky blue. Right.
It's like a transparent blue, but something, I don't know, maybe like put a little like a little shimmer texture. I don't know. I'm not a marketing person.
A nice overspray.
But I could be if you just asked me. No. I do truly wonder. I'm like, why would you be like, okay, we have to make another Angel. Let's go in this direction. Like what? Who is informing these decisions?
I mean, how many more directions can you take, Angel? You know, they've been doing it for years.
I feel like of all the flankers, though, they don't really stay true. They don't do anything really similar to the original.
I think that's probably in their benefit.
I feel like if they did a musky gourmand, that would be interesting because they're so at odds.
So, yes, but they're doing these to sell them. I was on a call yesterday for something I'm working on, and they were talking about these perfumes and what notes we're going to call out in the copy and all of this. And it was funny because, you know, after meeting with Sephora and everything, they're like, okay, we have to stay away from like, we don't want to call it smoky. We don't want to call it tobacco because those are very apparently polarizing to the Sephora customer. So even if the fragrance is that or has those elements to it, they want to lean sweet. They want to lean fruity. They want to lean things like Prada Paradox. So it's like, while I'm sure you could go a billion more interesting directions.
So don't trust anything you read at Sephora.
Right. So if you want to go like more interesting directions with Angel, it's like, is that going to sell? They also said like you can't do that from an SEO standpoint. And I'm like, let me stop you there. That makes no sense. But
do they think because tobacco has different types of SEO?
Well, when they said that, they were like, from an SEO perspective, you don't want to. I'm like, I think they mean because people aren't searching for.
Got it. Probably not indexing higher.
So also, Sephora is full of shit. Right. So shout out to them. But yeah, it was just interesting to me the way that you formulate a fragrance and then the way you sell it.
Yeah.
You know?
Completely. Which is why I'm always skeptical about the copy.
There's also, I will probably get sniped on site for this, but they just sent this newsletter. I'm not going to read this because I will get sent to jail, but fragrance search terms.
Oh, of most highly searched fragrance terms for Sephora or just in general?
For Sephora.
Wow.
And even if I could read this on the air, I'm not going to because I don't think it is populating correctly. Anyway, I'm just saying.
They have their own data.
Sephora is analytics. Crazy. And if you are selling with them, you are selling the way that they want you to sell. You know what I mean? They're not going to take your product if they don't think it's going to sell. So yeah, that's could so you do a musky caramelly Angel? Yeah, but they could say, have fun with that. You're not going to sell it through us. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mugler is available on at Sephora. That's so interesting how the world is run by bullshit. Yet again. We are being lied to. Gently. Kindly. Commercially. Speaking of being lied to. So perhaps you have been hearing this term about lately. And I feel like it mostly is having to do with fashion related things. A little bit of a bleed through into beauty, although I personally don't think that it necessarily works with makeup and skincare.
Say the term.
I'm about to.
Okay.
I'm leading up to it.
Okay.
But fragrance has always been the quiet luxury of beauty.
So what is quiet luxury?
Quiet luxury, to my understanding, is broadcasting your wealth in a very, very subtle, low-key, brandless way. It's like The Row, Celine, without the logo.
I think it is more so you are not broadcasting, but people are projecting, because when you don't wear logos, you're not really broadcasting anything.
Right.
Right. It's just this idea. And I think it came from TikTok. And I don't mean to be that old bitch who's like hating on TikTok and then like getting ideas from it for their podcast. But yeah, it, like you said, the Row, the very, very luxe,
yeah,
expensive brands who don't brand their stuff that, yeah, people have just now realized that you can wear something without a label on it and, yeah, still pay a lot for it. Mm-hmm. And that is now a trend.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I'm like, this isn't a trend. This is just the way wealthy people are.
These are just clothes.
These are clothes to wealthy people.
Well, I think, I mean, I don't think that this is obviously a very direct response to this sort of 2017, 2018 Balenciaga, like, mm-hmm, monster monogram, mm-hmm, that got really popular. And I do think Balenciaga started it and then everyone else followed suit. It's like, we've always had the Louis Vuitton bags and the Gucci monograms,
oh,
whatever.
Yeah, the,
but
monograms.
It's the gigantic ones that, mm-hmm, are very like Jeffree Star.
Ostentatious.
And like,
yeah, very nouveau-ish.
Very Kardashian. I'm talking 16-inch wide logos, 4-inch tall, just repeat, yeah, repeat, repeat. So that has been trending for some reason for so long that now people see something without anything on it, any logos, and they're like, oh, you, that still costs a lot? Mm-hmm. What have I been doing this whole time?
Yeah. It's just like, tastes, two different styles, mm-hmm, like whatever. Mm-hmm. I remember reading something about it on The Cut, and they interviewed people who have been in fashion, and they were like, this has always been a thing because it's not a trend.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they were saying how it's kind of like all of the old wealth is dying, and that's where that aesthetic came from. And since there's so many more new rich people from tech and all our new industries, it was a little bit of a condescending tone where they're like, basically all these new tech people have like no taste. Mm. So they have the money to buy all this stuff, but they don't have taste. So they're buying all like the tacky branded logo stuff. Sure. And so that's probably going to come like boomeranging back as a trend. Mm-hmm. But the people who wear, I think they cited the Gwyneth Paltrow court case because like everybody was like looking at her fashion during that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is quiet luxury. I'm like, she's just rich, dude.
Right.
She's always been dressing like this.
Right. It's not like quiet luxury to them. It's like you can't project a trend onto somebody.
No.
You know? It's funny. I was listening to Las Culturistas and Bowen Yang was like, yeah, I was on set today and I was wearing a white button down and someone was like, oh, quiet luxury. He was like, what do you mean? And, yeah, someone explained it. He was like, this is from Uniqlo.
Yeah.
this
it's
is just
the simplicity.
A-shirt.
It's the simplicity with quality, fine materials, I guess, is what is at the broadest crux of quiet luxury. And when it comes to fragrance, because fragrance is the one beauty thing I feel that's experiential for other people around you, the same way fashion sort of is, I feel like fragrance is the way people project luxury around them. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it's also like fashion gendered in a way that beauty, yeah, is not. So, yes, it's like, you know, if it were a beauty look, then a lot of the population might choose to not engage. Mm-hmm. But since it's fragrance, you know, everyone can engage in fragrance. So, yeah, it's like fragrance mirrors fashion in that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have seen people start talking about quiet luxury fragrances to our chagrin.
What's funny though is the word luxury is used in marketing so ubiquitously that to me, I'm like, there's no benchmark. There's truly no benchmark of what is considered luxury. Mm-hmm. It's whatever a marketing copywriter decides to call luxury.
Well, and a good copywriter never uses the word luxury.
Yeah, ideally. But the truly quote unquote luxury scents are things that you don't see in ads. They're not advertised because they're so gate kept that if you know.
That is a good point. But yeah, also in the text yesterday, you made another good point that fragrance itself is quiet luxury, period.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And I always say that even Bath and Body Works is luxury. And you're like, no, it's not.
No, it's
but
not.
Yes, it is. Because, no, yes, it is. Bath and Body Works is luxury because every fragrance, it is not a
because
need.
Because you don't need it to live.
It is a want. Like, any sort of fragrance denotes, okay, expendable income.
That's one way to think about
that
it.
That you can enjoy something. So, yes, Bath and Body Works is luxury. Zara fragrance is luxury. Fragrance itself is a luxury, right?
I see where you're coming from with that, and I still disagree with you, but I also recognize the validity of your logic.
Okay. But
in the commercial sense, I say no. In the sense of items, procuring items and having possessions, yes.
But you know, like I know, that I have worn $450 fragrances that smell identical warm vanilla, yeah, sugar. So it's like, can your nose detect luxury? No, but it can detect fragrance, yeah, which is luxury.
But when I think of the types of scent profiles that people consider luxury, and I find this interesting as well, it's never the gourmands. It's never the fruities.
No, of course not.
It's always these really light, airy, fresh, aquatic, maybe woody. They love woody now. Musky, it's very subdued.
It's funny you say that because I agree with you on the gourmands, but I think the opposite about what people consider luxury. I think of the really heavy, really leathery, woody. I
like
agree
the
with
ouds,
you
because oud is a rare raw material.
Incensey, like Tom Ford coated.
Yeah.
I think people think Creed or like a Creed like esque profile
for sure.
That to me, when I smell something like that, and I'm thinking of a price point, that is going to take me to expensive more than a light floral. But that's perspective. That's subjective as fuck. So
I would agree with the earthy, smoky, heady types of things.
Yes.
But I feel like they always downplay the gourmands, even if there are gourmands in there.
Which there always are.
Yeah. There's always a vanilla in there. There's always a little bit of amber, a little bit of vanilla. And they always don't call those out, which might just be a perspective thing. I don't know. But yes, you're right. Especially when it comes to oud and really expensive raw materials.
But yes. So you and I, of course, would break down the oud and the saffron of it all and like the raw materials. Yes. But the normal consumer probably would not.
No.
I think what they would get, though, and I'm like thinking through this as I say it out loud, so is just the wear and the throw and the depth. And to me, those scents read more luxury. Because when you think about like, maybe I'm actually contradicting what I just said, because when you think of wood and leather and oud and incense and all that, that feels, as an idea, more expensive to me than a floral, a fresh, an aquatic, which are just as lovely. But I don't, those to me read normal, everyday.
Same.
Like fun girl.
I think because it's easy to get cheaper floral ingredients, so they can be used more broadly. Whereas it's not as easy to get a cheaper or degraded quality version of like an oud.
Yes.
So to experience it in its truest form, I don't know. You have to get the expensive shit.
Yeah. Well, even, and I keep trying to take myself out of the raw materials of it all because I don't know how much that reads. But when I think of florals, those seem florals like as florals, as flowers in the world. Those to me are more of an everyday experience than a really gorgeous leather or a really
expensive. Well, I mean, orris is one of the most expensive raw materials. Mm-hmm. It's a flower.
Yeah. Yeah. But like flowers as a concept.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
Got it.
Florals. Yeah. And even like, I don't mean like consumers as if I am not one. I am fully. But I think notes take me to the object rather than like the price point of sourcing.
For sure.
Because that's a very like inside baseball.
It is.
You know.
But every designer brand, not every, but a lot of them have their own Privé lines that not many people know about. I mean, like we just learned about the Armani Privé line this year when we interviewed them.
Yeah.
And those are what, $400?
They're expensive as fuck. I still have that one. I haven't worn.
Did they send you any?
Yeah, they sent me the one that Beck told us about. I want to say it's Jasmine, but I could be wrong. Did they send you?
They sent me one called Yulong Tay.
Well, okay. So going back to just smelling anything on anyone, I'm not going to smell something on you and be like, oh, that's the Privé. Because it's just a scent.
It's just a scent.
So
especially now in our heyday of fragrance where there's just so much. There's the Armani Privé line. There's the Tom Ford Privé line. I feel like nobody really even knows about their normal department counter fragrances, department store counter fragrances, like Black Orchid.
No, Tobacco Vanille, like
that's a Privé.
Tuscan Leather.
Yeah, those are Privé.
Oh, you're Tom right.
Ford, yeah.
Wait.
The square bottles.
Yeah.
Those are the Privé line.
But that's like the core line.
To you.
Okay, we're getting caught up in semantics here, but I don't think that that is technically the Privé. I understand what you're saying, but I think there's like the mass Tom Ford.
Yeah.
And then this. And then, but then there's like another version on top of that, like Bitter Peach and Broken Cherry, Lost Cherry, which are even more expensive, which I always forget.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is Privé this, Privé that.
Yeah, like, Privé. There's Dior now is promoting their Privé line, which like, they previously never did.
Yeah, it's that is like for clout and for a flex, but your nose doesn't fucking know.
What's interesting to me is, for instance, Dior just announced, what's her face? Alexandra Daddario as the face of their new Privé fragrance, Greed Dior. Mm-hmm. And they never...
Wait, that's just a repromote.
What do you mean?
It's not new.
Yeah, the fragrance is not new.
Right.
But the fact is that they never used to promote those lines. Because Dior has so many mass fragrances, or department store level fragrances, whatever you call that level.
Yeah, mass.
Yeah. You wouldn't see the Privé line there necessarily. You'd have to go to the Dior store.
You're right.
So the fact that they're attaching a celebrity and promoting it that way, I'm like, what does this mean? That you're indulging the mass appeal of it, treating it as if it was more of a mass fragrance, even though it's like the expensive tier up. Like, what's that about? It's disquieting luxury.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I also think a lot of these designer houses are like, wait, fragrance is big. We need to start promoting
Well, exactly.
Like, our expensive line that we've always had, but gate kept.
Right.
When I think of mega luxury, I think of brands that you don't even see ads for, like Krigler.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's what I think of. Roja? Mm-hmm. Who else? Tamin? Brands that I had barely heard of. Amalfi. Again, they're $5,000 fragrances.
Right.
Which I still want to smell.
Go to jail.
Or even Bond Number 9.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to like think through this. Because it's, yes, those are luxury to you. I mean, yes, they're luxury period. But like when you are purchasing them, you are experiencing. But to others,
they don't know.
Right. Right.
And maybe if they're like, you smell great, what are you wearing? And then you can name drop your expensive Guerlain fragrance. Mm-hmm. And that's the flex.
But that's not quite luxury.
What isn't?
Name dropping. No.
Oh, no. Name dropping is not luxury at all. Right. But people do it.
Yeah.
All the time. Mm-hmm. I also feel, ages ago, I remember having a conversation with, I don't know, my parents or something about this. And they were like, it's always the people who are very wealthy. But they are aware of people who are wealthier than them that are the most anxious about their wealth. And they're like the ones who are being more conspicuous about it. They're projecting their wealth more to, you know, flex. Mm. And whereas it's the people who are richer than God who don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. They don't dress in any ostentatious way because they know that they're like, well, I'm so rich. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what I wear. I'll keep buying my like Hanes 5-pack of t-shirts because I don't give a fuck.
It's funny. I saw this like, where did quiet luxury come from? And someone was like, look at Mark Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. He's in a gray t-shirt.
Yeah.
But this is a custom Bruno Cucinelli t-shirt. Yeah. And their core t-shirts that are not custom are $695. So like, imagine what a custom Mark t-shirt is. Oh my God. But that is quiet luxury because it's not branded. It looks like everything else, like blah, blah, blah. And like, yes.
Sure.
But to your point, he's like one of the richest people in the world.
Yeah.
So it's like, I could wear a shirt that looks exactly like that.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's like when you just know it for yourself. It's doing it for yourself, I guess. Which again, like who fucking cares?
Yeah.
And at the same time, I love the idea of investing in craftsmanship and of quality. What are my tenets of luxury? I think of quality, craftsmanship, sourcing is important as well.
I would add to that scarcity.
Scarcity. Wait, what do you mean?
How available it is to others.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. So if it's not as available to others. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
But whether regionally or seasonally, because now with the internet, sort of everything is everywhere, but seasonally, if it's like limited or if it's only made an X amount of months out of the year.
Oh, okay. I see. That. Yeah. Yeah. They don't just produce
exactly
at a mass level. Exactly. They produce for, I get that. Like a capsule collection.
Like even Nike, I don't know this to be true anymore, but I was told once at Foot Locker that even Nike doesn't make their Air Force Ones all year round. So mm-hmm. I was like, fuck, if I want to have these in November, I got to buy them now. And
right.
Not luxury, but scarcity.
Right.
I just bought something very stupid, but that makes me very happy. And it wasn't all that much money, but it was like...
Was it the lamp?
No.
Okay.
Which, yes, was a stupid purchase.
No, it wasn't.
But yeah, you're right. That was an investment. But the only reason I bought this, it was like a seasonal collection. I was like, well, I love that. It's not that much money. So like that pushed me and that feels
like the most expensive thing you've ever bought.
That lamp. I don't want to talk about it.
See, right? That lamp to me is quiet luxury because if you know, you know. And I know because I am a snob. No, I'm just kidding.
But also it's like
I'm kidding.
Very loud. But you're
but
right.
The thing
but
is, like, if you know.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what the experience is. When you understand like what that brand is just on site, you're like, oh. Mm-hmm. It's a lamp. Who cares? You can buy a lamp anywhere, but you chose this lamp for the aesthetic, for the craftsmanship, for the scarcity, and because it looks fucking cool.
I've also, never mind. I've just like, I'm cutting this all out, but I'm okay now with spending more money on things like dress shoes or a belt and things that one, I wear every day or two, like dress shoes have to look nice. And like, I don't wear them every day, but I would never buy a pair of like Gucci sneakers to wear every day. Cause like I live in New York. Those are literally on my feet on the ground. Gross. I don't want to be scared to wear anything, you know?
Same. I'm also a really messy eater. So I know I'm going to get sauce on everything, which is why I don't really wear many, as I'm wearing like a white t-shirt now, but like I don't wear expensive light colored things. Cause I know I'm going to get food on it.
All I wear are light colors and I'm especially in my white tee era. And let me tell you, it's not going well.
But a t-shirt is a t-shirt.
You're right.
They're easily replaceable. I wouldn't get like a white silk gown.
Okay. And like great example, but I have a white tee from the Gap that like for some reason just looks great on me. Mm-hmm. Not to be weird, but I'm like, it just is cut in a way that I'm like, no, this is good.
Yeah.
And I was taking, I was putting on the shirt last week and I got this pretty heavily tinted sunscreen, like fucking all over it. I was like, God damn it. It did sort of stain, which I was pissed about, but I immediately bought another one at like, what, $18? Yeah. That to me, I know that's not luxury, but that makes me like feel good. Yes. And that to me is more valuable. Sure. That t-shirt that
because it looks good on
you. It looks good on me. Yeah. I feel good in it. And I can get it again.
That's great.
If and when I fuck it up. I know that's not luxury, but that is more valuable to me than the Mark Zuckerberg, Bruno Cucinelli t-shirt that I can't afford anyway.
Well, again, when people argue about money, they're arguing about value. And it's like, what is the value of this thing? So to me, I don't buy expensive clothes because I don't care what people think I look like from the neck down. The neck up. I'm very yeah, top of it.
There are stakes.
Yes, there are stakes here. But I like dressing well. I like experimenting with style. I don't have a signature style yet. I don't know if it's ever going to happen for me. I would love to be one of those people who has a capsule wardrobe and a recognizable style, but it's just not going to be me.
Because I disagree. I think you have a very signature style.
Really?
That is evolving. Yeah. You have a very, and I mean this in every best way possible. You just have like a, you have a style. You have style. Maybe that's all I mean. Slay.
I like to experiment with looks, and I feel like I'm always, right now especially, because I guess it's all coming back now, but I'm dressing in all the things that I thought was really cool when I was a teenager. And because like all the 90s are coming back, mm-hmm, and I was too young to wear it then, I'm like, well, now it's all in.
When I was a kid and what I wanted to wear, but I couldn't because I was a little boy, all I ever fucking wanted to wear were jelly slippers, jelly shoes, jelly sandals.
Oh my God, they suck though. The experience is so gnarly.
You think I cared then or now? I don't. But oh my God, they just put out this pair of Air Force Ones with sort of like a, you'll see me in them this summer, like a jelly heel cup. Oh. That is lined. It's not full jelly, but like, okay, it's got this weird, I don't know, translucent thing. Bitch, I bought those on site.
I remember never wear the them. Jelly sandals. Your feet would get so sweaty. Dirt would get caked in there, and then they would start rubbing because it's plastic.
Oh, they
so
can't
the
feel
friction,
nice.
Yeah, the friction was awful. I would always get blisters in them, but they were the coolest fucking things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they were the coolest things. Yeah. They remain the coolest things.
Have you ever seen those memes with those clear plastic thigh-high boots and you just see the fucking sweat?
Yeah.
It's like so not. It's like that, basically.
I think that when people argue about money, I agree that they're arguing about value, but money is so loaded that it's just projection. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know. I guess it does go back to...
Well, like for instance...
It's also a judgment call.
I remember when I was in high school, girls wore the Coach bag, the monogram bag, the Louis, the LV bags, and having a designer bag was like the thing. And my parents were like, you're a child. What are you carrying? Right. You don't even have a cell phone.
Right.
Shut the fuck up.
Right.
They were right. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't buy me that. But because my mom works in garment production, she would go to Asia a lot and she'd say like, oh, they have like all of these knockoff bags that are made from the same factories. And a lot of times they were the defects.
Oh.
And this was the era of the Balenciaga motorcycle bag that Mary-Kate had.
Yes.
And I wanted one so badly. And my mom brought me back one from Indonesia.
Sick.
It's basically a factory reject because there's something that's just like not up to code.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled, but at the same time, I was like, because it didn't have like any Balenciaga logos on it, which I don't think the originals
do. I don't think they did.
No. Maybe in the inside. I don't remember.
Maybe.
I've never touched a real Balenciaga bag. I have no idea. But I was like, they're going to know. They're going to know it's fake. They're going to know. And now, apparently, buying fake designer bags is a cool thing. There was an article about it, how there's like a huge desire for fake designer bags where people collect them.
I don't think there's anything more glamorous than a fake bag.
I think it's funny now.
It's so cool.
I think it's so funny. Like, for instance, I have like a fake Bottega Veneta hobo, the woven leather tote. I call it my Fotega.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
And it looks exactly like the original. It's very well crafted. Mm-hmm. It holds a lot of my shit. And I just wanted a leather woven bag. That's specifically the look I was going for. I'm not going to fucking spend $5,000 on a handbag. I think that's insane. Personally, that's not where I would put my money.
No.
But I know people who specifically want the bag. Mm-hmm. I want that Bottega cassette bag. And good for them, because I get it. Me with my Hasami porcelain dinnerware.
Yeah.
It's nice to have the thing that you read as luxury. Mm. But to me, I would never spend more than three figures on a bag, because I also get bored with them. If I was a person who's like, I want one bag, and this is my bag forever, then I would be more judicious, but I just don't care. Mm-hmm. Trends are fleeting. Also, because so many people have certain designer bags now, by wearing it, I'm like, what am I saying about myself? That I have this bag that everybody else has.
Right.
And that's how I've always thought about fashion. And I'm like, is that quiet luxury? Because people know what it is.
Well, it's funny that you say that, you know, trends are fleeting, because when you talk about quiet luxury, it's not a trend. It's just nicely made basics.
Yeah.
But I feel like
it's literally that. It's just nicely made basics.
Literally. It's like, literally, yeah, it's a white button down, whatever. Yeah. But I feel like, sorry, but like the TikTok of it all is so, we just all fucking want to belong to something.
Yeah.
That is why TikTok
status
makes any and everything a trend for a week. And it's funny that it has now come to the one thing that is not trending ever. It is just classic. It is always in style.
Yeah.
You know, a white tee, a nice pair of jeans, like whatever.
Yeah. I feel like they're not chasing luxury. They're chasing status.
Yeah.
That's what people are always chasing.
Exactly. Do you even, I don't know. I was going to say, like, what does luxury smell like to you? But it's like, it smells like anything, because perfume,
I know,
is luxury. But you're right. It's never something sweet.
Yeah. When you think of what in your mind is like the most luxurious scent, what do you think of?
Not luxurious to me, luxurious to anyone, like luxury period, capital L luxury. Oh, to me,
is the most luxurious scent.
Something that makes me feel good.
Is it a particular fragrance, or is it
yeah.
a particular scent profile?
Probably. Well, a scent profile, a gourmand, a straight gourmand. I would say luxury fragrance to me is fucking commodity milk, personal, clock it. Just because like it makes me feel so good. Or I'm going to do a time of my life, blah, blah, blah. That or Kaili Vanilla, just because it's so, that is a luxurious scent to me, just because it's so good. And I like feel like I like luxuriate in it. Mm. And it's not an inexpensive fragrance, but it is the higher end of affordable.
Yeah.
But if we take that out of it, it's that makes me feel so good. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the world is crazy, and sometimes luxury is just being content and being happy, because like not everyone has that.
You have a very wholesome view of luxury.
What? I mean, I also,
it's so kind and gentle. And I'm just like, these people are out for blood.
Well, they are. That's why you have to feel good at by any means necessary.
These status mongers.
that to me is, yeah, I mean, these days, bitch, feeling good is a luxury.
It's true. It is true. I always think of this one Byredo perfume oil that I bought in 2017. It was their limited edition leather collection, LaCelle.
Oh, yeah.
And I still have it. I've used half of it, and that's like a super rich, leathery scent. Mm-hmm. And it's an oil, so you just kind of like dab it on your pulse points, but that shit radiates like crazy. Every time I wear it, people are like, oh my God, you smell incredible.
Yeah.
They can't pinpoint what the smell is. And even to me, I'm like, is it a woody? Is it a leather? Is it, what's going on here? What's going on here? But I think also because at the time I was like, this is a big purchase for me.
Totally.
When I got it, even though the very lovely sales associate let me use her employee discount.
Yeah.
Which years, years, years later, I'm like, oh, she was flirting with me. Now I get it. I was like, oh, she's just really friendly.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, oh, sick. But there's that. I think of my Bond number 9.
New York Nights.
Yes. New York Nights. How did you know? Wow. Specifically that one. And I have an Alexander McQueen scent and a Christian Louboutin scent that both have papyrus as the hero accord. Hmm. And it's this light.
Sorry, Alexander McQueen and
Christian Louboutin. It's the snake one. Or no, the eagle one.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
That one is.
Yeah.
Is that the one I gave you? The one they didn't send you when I gave?
You gave me the snake one.
The snake one. Oh,
the snake one's good. Yeah. But the one with the eagle on the top.
Yeah.
I think it's called Lily. I think it's called La Luna.
Yeah.
Or Luna Louboutin. Louis Luna. That's what it was. But they both have this papyrus accord that's super sandy, suedey, sandalwoody, but earthy. There's something about it. It's hard to pinpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that always red is very luxurious.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I don't know, something about like the mysterious amorphous quality about it. That's also unique because I don't really smell it in other things.
That's funny that the papyrus note red in the Louboutin scent, because those are heady and heavy.
Very, very.
It's funny, not to be completely fucking obvious, but I, off the Byredo tip, like as I was cleaning out, I'm sort of beginning to get rid of a lot of shit because I'm moving, which I'm not talking about, but I was gathering a lot of fragrances to donate, and I saw my half gone bottle of 1996 just sitting there, which like I'm afraid to use now because it's discontinued, even though I have another bottle, blah, blah, blah. And I picked it up and I smelled it and I was like, God damn it. That also, I mean, it's a gorgeous, suedey scent that smells like an expensive purse and coffee and things like that. And so that denotes luxury, but also it reminds me of like the past, I don't know, 9-10 years of my life. And that also to me, I don't know, is another form of luxury.
Again,
let me make no sense, but just to, make no sense. To have something you love for so long and to still have that like lovely connection with it.
That's how fragrance works.
Shout out to memories.
Most
of them.
Most of them. Not all of them. When I think of luxury fragrances, I realized I did just name 3 very expensive brands.
Yeah, but if we were out here naming expensive brands for the sake of being expensive, you wouldn't have named those.
Fair. Fair. I feel like most people, when they think of luxury fragrance, they think you could go to Sephora.
Yeah.
Get Prada Paradox, and that's a luxury fragrance.
And that is luxury.
And in it, sure. Sure. But quiet luxury. Is it quiet luxury or is it loud luxury? Does it matter? Does it matter the volume at which you luxuriate?
Just like, again, like, okay. I don't think anything can be quiet luxury because the quiet luxury of it all hinges on people's perception yes. of you.
I don't think it's possible to be quietly luxurious in this age of hyper surveillance and hyper voyeurism. I truly don't.
But it's never up to you.
Right.
It's up to right. someone looking at you.
Sure.
You know, and like, can a trend be a trend if you're not responsible for it? Yeah. Or can you participate in a trend if you're not, you know,
I suppose
actively
so.
Doing so?
I also think just as a culture, we have this obsession with wealth and wealthy people yes. and wealthy lifestyles. I stopped watching Succession because it sucks, but yeah. like,
you're the only person on earth who thinks that, and I love
have
it.
Watched that show. What is it? The 5th season now? The 4th? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
All the previous seasons, and from season 1, I was like, is this good? Am I supposed to like this?
Yeah.
And finally, after 4, I've freed myself. I'm like, this isn't good.
As a rule,
I don't care about the lives of these people.
No, as a rule, I don't watch any content with people in tunics or people in suits.
No.
So Succession is off the table for me.
I'm like, so there's nothing science fiction happening. This is all just reality.
Nothing science fiction.
Yeah, like this is all just like reality of rich people. I don't care.
Yeah. I was thinking about this on the way over here, and I think I've talked about this in some other bullshit way on the show, but I don't think quiet luxury is a trend in the same way that other things are considered trends, because I don't think you actively can participate in it. I think it is what people perceive you as. But when any trend revolves around luxury and wealth for the sake of itself, I'm always like, what are we saying? Like, who that is this status. For?
It's for status.
And why? You know what I mean?
People
always
just
like,
give a shit about projecting status. That's it. Even though, like, not for nothing, like, you could go to Zara, get a simple thing, I don't know, a simple slip dress yes. that's like polyester but looks silk, and no one will know.
Just don't stand near an open flame,
dude. Yeah, don't do that.
I mean, expensive
flame,
things
don't too. Let anyone flame test you. But truly, sometimes you can't tell.
That should be the only test of luxury, is how flammable is your attire.
Ooh, that's a good one. Or how edible to moths. The moth test and yeah. the flame test. We're gonna get to the bottom of this. I just thought it was funny how immediately when I saw that quiet luxury was trending, I was like, well, fragrance has always been quiet luxury.
I completely
like,
agree with
I
you.
Think that. I always think that. But I don't see people making that connection, really. Which is funny because people are always like, I want to smell expensive. Some of those smells expensive. There's like a weird obsession with that. Again, status. That's what people care about. What is quiet luxury fragrance? What is luxury fragrance? What's money?
That's the real question.
That's the real question.
And that is not a question for this podcast.
Money is fake. I attest that. You can just print more of it.
I do believe that.
They do print more of it. That's why we're in trouble.
Right.
I'm really curious what people's idea of luxury fragrance is.
And yes.
Just like in the broad scope of things.
Yeah. I'm also, and I might be just repeating what you're saying yeah. in different words, but I'm also curious as to know what fragrance, the question you asked me, like, what fragrance makes you feel the most luxurious?
Also that.
Price point aside.
When I was a teenager, Tommy Girl was like the scent, mm-hmm. or Ralph Lauren Blue, mm-hmm. and those were $60. And I remember being a teenager thinking that was expensive. And maybe now it's just because I'm a full-grown woman with a career that I'm like, $60, whatever. But maybe it's just like the demographic. It's a high end of what's considered attainable for that demographic mm-hmm. to project the idea of luxury. I don't know.
But yeah. The other thing about luxury is there's always more. There's always another level that you are aspiring to, yeah. unless you're like Mark Zuckerberg. And I say you're aspiring to it in like the general sense. If you don't aspire to it, great. But
I
mean, it's like
the truly, I feel like the wealthiest people, you just like don't see them.
No.
They're absconded.
But like you said, I mean, there's always another level. Like you think you're super wealthy, and then you meet someone else, and it's like, oh, then there's just like, that's the thing. It's always the carrot dangling in front of you.
It's the same feeling that I would get because I didn't have like a stupid little Coach bag, and I thought we were poor. Meanwhile, it wasn't that my family couldn't afford it. They were just like, that's tacky, and you're a child. Yeah, like, you don't need this.
Right.
It's not appropriate. But the perception of luxury is so different depending on how rich you are and who's a little bit richer than you.
Mm-hmm. And there's always someone a little bit richer
than you. There's always someone a little bit richer than you.
Yeah.
But people are constantly chasing that feeling. And I feel like the more you get into it, the more it feeds itself.
Oh, totally.
As soon as you're like, oh, I have this, and then you're like, but how much more status can I get? Mm-hmm. And it just becomes a thing that feeds itself.
Yeah.
I live comfortably for myself. I work as hard as I need to work to maintain my comfortable lifestyle. And that to me is luxury because I don't really have to answer to anybody. I'm at a good spot in my career where I can call the shots, which is great. But then I think of, you know, people who live in doorman buildings. And I was like, oh, that'd be nice. It'd be nice to not live in a fifth floor walk up. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to have central air or a terrace. Or when my heat comes on, it doesn't do a whole percussion fucking solo.
A drum solo.
Yeah, like it doesn't do a drum solo every time the fucking heat comes on. Like, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I don't know. One day, maybe.
Yeah, I just feel like every time, most times that I really start to obsess over an object that is not mine, but could be if I paid for it. I'm like, oh, fuck, that didn't make me any happier.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And
exactly.
Like, fuck, that got me again.
Yep.
You know, and I am still the same person.
Yep.
And I don't know. And I also don't, obviously, every purchase to me means something. You know what I mean? Like, I see that money leave my account and I pay all those credit card bills every month. I'm like, ooh. It's just always nice to remind yourself that, like, oh, none of this means anything. Like, as long as I have a roof over my head.
I feel like we think of money in very different ways, but we have similar lifestyles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which what is do you funny. Mean? Because, like, you are very judicious with spending and I am very frivolous. However, I think of money in terms of projects. I think of it like a video game. If I want to buy something expensive, I'm like, how many articles is this? Do I have to write? How many projects do I have to do to afford this? And that's how I think about it. I feel like you're more concrete in the numbers. Mm-hmm. Like you see, like you just like look at the numerical value.
Yeah.
Which is why you have more money than me.
No, I just, a lot of the work that I do on the side truly is not for the money. And I guess I don't even know what I mean by that. It's all for like the next step that I am going to take. And I hope to take this year. I mean, the money is really nice, of course, but I'm not out here.
You're building a resume.
Yeah. And I built the resume. That's why I'm like, okay, I would like to offload some of the shit with my next move. But yeah, exactly. And so when it comes to money, that's all sort of a bonus, which is like such a privileged thing to say. Of course, the money matters. I fucking live in New York City. I'm getting priced out of my apartment. But yeah, you know how I live. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm wearing a hoodie and jeans from Banana Republic. Like I'm not out here, you know, doing the Balenciaga thing. And I never will be. I don't know.
But you also have a more streamlined signature style.
Yeah,
when I see things, I know like, oh, this is a Tynan thing.
Yeah.
And you stick to that aesthetic.
Yeah.
I can be swayed. I am able to be swayed out of my aesthetic. And then I buy the thing, then I'm like, why'd I do that? I'm not going to fucking wear this.
Yeah.
What was I thinking?
You're a girl, though. It's much cooler to be a girl.
It is cooler to be
a
girl.
What am I going to wear? Another hoodie?
a different hoodie.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm going to really go on a limb today and wear a sweater. That's luxury.
A sweater. A knit.
Okay, tell us what fragrances are luxury to you. Tell us what makes you feel luxurious.
Yeah, I'm always curious, especially with fragrance, what people consider luxury or expensive, because the price points are truly all over the place.
Yeah,
and you're right, the scents could be the same. Like Bath & Body Works could smell just like an Hermes.
That's the only reason this episode is as long as it is, because I was waiting for you to say that I was right. But also, like, I'm also what informs why you think it's luxury, because I think a lot about scarcity too. Mm-hmm. Because like things are
limited edition.
I have fallen in love with very inexpensive things that were taken off the shelf and I was like, well, fuck me, I would have bought another one. How do I know?
cherrybomb.com. Can't get it anymore.
Rotten hell, bitch. okay, follow us at smellylater.mp3. you can hit our website for our very comfortable merch. I wore our new hoodie this week and I was like, damn, this is comfortable.
The Gourmand.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Leave us a voice note. Also at the website, smellylater.live.
Yeah, leave us some voice notes. We haven't gotten any voice notes.
Stop saying that.
Because I want them to do it.
And you can follow
Tell
me.
Tell us a secret.
I'm at Tynan Buck.
I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
And
you can leave. Oh. You can leave us a little comment on Spotify.
Yes.
In the episode description. A couple of people did. It was really nice.
Sable has to show them to me because I don't have Spotify.
two streamers, both alike and Digny. He's an Apple Music guy. I'm a Spotify girl.
I'm only Apple Music because I think Spotify's ugly.
They're both ugly.
But at least Apple's white.
At least Apple's white. Did you really just say that?
Okay, anyway, smell you later.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.